13, Exodus chapter 13. For our visitors, I am from Ohio. And there's a lot of Michigan people here that need an Ohio pastor. I'm going to read in several different places right now, three different places is all. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 21, says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, led them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Next chapter. Let's jump to verse 19. "The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." Wouldn't that be just incredible to witness that enormous miracle taking place right there? All right, let me jump over to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 9. Verse 17, it says, "And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I do ask your blessing upon the message tonight. I pray you control what I say and how I say it. Help me to stay true to your word. Lord, use this to strengthen us, to draw us closer to you. Lord, to be sensitive to your leading in our life, to be willing to follow you. And Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted, I pray for that conviction and that drawing, that even this evening they repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you be glorified, I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. We're reading examples, of course, after the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, how the Lord led them, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It would just, I mean, like I've mentioned several times, I can't wait to get to heaven to watch certain events like the crossing of the Red Sea. I want to see that. I'm hoping we can go up and we can actually, Lord, allow us to watch it as that happened. I also want to really see this pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, to see this direct leading of God in their life. And the Lord sort of made it easy for them. You know, when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they pitched their tents. It was time to stop. And in our day, we're going to see, I'll get to this later on, in many ways, we have a much greater advantage than they did. We have the complete revelation. We have God's word with us, all of it. They did not have one word written down yet, or Moses might have started working on it by this time, that I don't know. But it was probably after some of these journeys that that began. And today, more than ever, Christians seem to need guidance, of course, and need leading. But it seems many times they go to everything else but God to make crucial decisions, to follow leading, to try and make those decisions in life that determine a course of action. And we need God's guidance every single day in our life. We need to know how do we follow God, because we don't have a cloud. I don't have that. The Lord has never called up my phone and said, "Do this." When I had to make the decision to go to New Guinea, I did not get a phone call and said, "You know what, you're assistant pastor at Independent Baptist Church now, but you need to go to New Guinea." Didn't happen that way. Nor did it happen that way after 12 years when it was time to come back. I did not, you know, God didn't, I didn't get a cloud coming back to Alaska. But nonetheless, the Lord always wants to provide us guidance. He's not up there trying to hide His will from us or hide from us His guidance and His direction. And so with this message, I want to try and give some help to you about following God's guidance in your life. We need to follow His direction. We need to get back to following that divine pillar that God always provides. So first off, I'm going to start this off by some principles from the nation of Israel, the leading that Israel had by following the cloud, and show you how they apply to us today. Number one, when it comes to the Lord's leading and guiding, we saw in the last verse I read, Numbers 9:17. That's a great verse to memorize, by the way, from the book of Numbers. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed in a place where the cloud abode. There the children of Israel pitched their tents. So the first principle I want to give you is this. You need to move when the cloud moves and only when the cloud moves. All right? This applies to us in a spiritual sense, and this will be more clear as the message goes on how we follow God's guidance. Again, many times you have multitudes of Christians who are really still babies drinking on milk when it comes to their spiritual life. The cloud has moved on, yet they're staying behind. The growth isn't at the level it should be. They're not capable of even making different decisions in their life because they're still at a stage that they should not be at. The cloud has moved, but they never did. Again, this principle can apply actually to decisions that we make every day in life. There are many who actually jump ahead. God hasn't moved anywhere. The cloud hasn't moved. But you jump ahead. Whether that's a job, I don't know, an assignment, a ministry even, you can jump ahead. You can make a decision that God's not even in. You can get ahead of God. You know, we can all think of all the different people that even had signs, even direct leading. Maybe it was a job and it had the potential really to hurt them spiritually. But, you know, as it's of the Lord, it's of God. Not every open door is of God. We need to be sensitive in looking for God's leading in all aspects of our life. And I want you to think about this. The Lord went before them, okay? Whatever His leading is, understand this, He's already there. He's already there. Many times we fret, anxiety takes over, but the Lord's already there. It's okay. You can trust Him. We fret about tomorrow and things that will be, but God is already there. Second principle. One was we move when the cloud moves. When we see God's leading and it's clear, that's when it's time to follow that guidance of whichever way the Lord is guiding you. Number two. We see from this principle in with the children of Israel that God provides guidance in the night just like He does during the day. He made the guidance. It would have to be different in the nighttime because the cloud would not be as clear and as distinct because it's nighttime. So He switched it to a pillar of fire so it would be easy to see. See, the problem is many times when we're going through difficult times and dark times, that's when we tend to lose direction. That's when we tend to get off course. And the truth is, obviously, as we see from our text, it is during the night that what the answer you need is more light, not less light. It's true every single time. During the dark times, the difficult times, you need more light during those times. Too often, this is where we can tend to get disoriented and off track, begin making decisions that aren't about following God's leading. We can panic, we can worry, we make decisions. We think we have to solve this now, whatever's taking place. Or we make a decision based on anger or bitterness or worry instead of following God's guidance. It's during the night, remember this, that's when you need more light. And as we see, God provides guidance in the night, just like He does during the day. Thirdly, by following God's guidance, we learn from this, it will protect you from the world and returning you to bondage. You know, they had left Egypt, God's leading and guiding. But they had to be just in awe of God's leading and guiding. I mean, just for them to witness this taking place would just have been incredible. But then we see, of course, the Egyptian army is coming after them. And then at that night, God changes things up. That pillar no longer went before them, went behind them to serve as protection. Even darkening on them where they wouldn't dare go through that darkness. They weren't about to try and overtake Israel while that was there. That wasn't going to take place. Yet at the same time, it was providing light that Israel would need that evening. By following God's guidance, it served as protection. If any of them decided to go away from God's guidance, it left them open to the Egyptian army, to going back into bondage. So by following the Lord, it gives us a measure of protection from the world. I mean, we've heard the saying, and Greg's not here, he has a shirt. We've heard the saying, I got your back. He has a shirt, I think it's Stickman, isn't it? And he's holding the other stick guy's back, and he says, I got your back. But we understand how we use that phrase. But in truth, as we see in the book of Exodus, God does have your back when you're following him. You don't have to plan and scheme and scheme. He's there. He's there. It's when we leave the counsel and guidance of God that we open ourselves up to different attacks from the world. Stay by the cloud. Know where your cloud is. Stay by it. I mean, just like here, we have to be careful in Alaska. I can say this because we're in December. We're 21 days away from gaining daylight. 21 days we're gaining daylight. And it's been below zero this week. I wonder how many said, you know what? Lower 48 sounds a whole lot better right now. Stay where your cloud is. The Lord's cloud will never leave Anchorage. Watch, I'll move this week. Watch something happen. No. So, when you are following God's guidance, it gives a measure of protection from the world. Perhaps the reason it seems the world is always influencing you and infecting you as it should is because you're not close to your cloud. You're not quite where you should be, and you're opening yourself up to be returned into a measure of bondage in your Christian life. The protection comes as we follow the Lord. And remember, this is true. Once we can open ourselves up, because we're dealing with this, dealing with this on a spiritual sense in our life. When those attacks hit, we're never in bondage in the way of the freedom we've gained in our salvation. That's not what I mean. But I am dealing with a very real struggle like we dealt with in Romans chapter 7 in the Christian life that takes place. Many times, when you're not surrendered and following God's guidance and the world begins to come in, it affects how you view life. You view it from a much more humanistic standpoint. From a much more secular standpoint. And it affects how you look at things. It affects the decisions you make. In other words, you're being put back into bondage. You don't even realize it. The next principle. It's through following divine direction that you allow God to even fight your battles for you. I did not continue reading on in Exodus, but we know if we were to read on in chapter 14, what happens? I mean, they're following God just like they should be. They cross the Red Sea. They're obeying God. And they still have this enormous army chasing after them. And God fought the battle for them. You know, they made the decision, which still is mind-boggling. That had to be of God to convince them, yeah, take the army into there. I mean, he's been seeing for weeks what the God of Israel has been doing, and yet he still made the decision with a wall of water on each side. They head in, and of course, the water comes collapsing down, and the army is completely destroyed. God fought their battles for them simply because they were following the leading of the Lord. It put them in a place where God was able to destroy those who were pursuing them. We can think of the example we have between Jericho and Ai with the exact same principle, where God fought their battles for them. But there was a measure of disobedience that had come in, and they lost a measure of God's protection. Again, and that is, there's several ways we can take that. Instead of seeking God, That's where they everything was going fine. They were following the Lord. They crossed the Jordan River. They saw the miracle of what happened in Jericho with the walls coming down. And then all of a sudden we got AI. It's okay. They decided they had to figure it out for themselves. You never have it figured out for yourself. Do you understand that? You always need God's leading and God's direction. Perhaps the reason why you're losing so many battles is because you're not near your cloud. Fifth principle. This one's crucial. We will not always understand the leading of the cloud. We will not always understand God's guidance. They did not understand. Remember, I have a message I preached a year ago or so. You might remember it, dealing just with the Red Sea. How where the Lord led them. They were blocked in. Like, what is going on? Why would God do this? There are times where you just don't understand God's guidance, but you trust Him anyhow. I mean, in truth, and those who were close to me back then, going back to 2000, 2001, when God called me to New Guinea, I did not understand that. I'm the last one that should be camping in my backyard, let alone on a little island in the South Pacific. But there are times when God leads when you don't always understand the leading of the cloud. And it's usually during these times that you'll see God work the greatest in your life, by the way. It's during those times that you tend to see God work the greatest. Those times that you just don't understand it, you just don't get it, but you stay faithful, you stay at it, you stay right, you do what's right, you don't blame God, you don't get bitter, you don't get angry, you stay on target, and it's usually during those times that you see God's strength the clearest in your life. You will not always understand the leading. When I was in, which I never would have came to Alaska then. Well, I was still in the Air Force, growing much in my faith though. Finished still in the middle of doing a Bible college even at that time. On staff at Berean Baptist where I was with Pastor Bird at that time. Him wanting me to stay there. I don't even need the Air Force anymore. And I got that assignment to Korea. I did not understand that. I did everything I could to get rid of it. I did not understand it, didn't agree with it. But looking back, the Lord knew exactly what He was doing. Listen, there are times you will not understand the leading of the cloud. Get this. This one I love. Look over in Nehemiah chapter 9. Go over to Nehemiah chapter 9. Two verses here I want to point out. Let's go to verse number 18 and 19. Should be good. It says, yea, when they made them a molten calf. This is referring back to the nation of Israel that we just read about there in the book of Exodus. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. I mean, you can just imagine the Lord. They did what? They're crediting, yet, look at the next verse. Yet, thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. Now get this. Look how it describes it. Notice the punctuation. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way. You know what? Even when you fall, if you're willing still to get right and follow the Lord, He's right there. He doesn't say, you know what? I'm tired of you falling. The cloud is gone. No leading. Just do whatever you want to do. It doesn't work that way. And their sin here is great. I mean, they witnessed miracle after miracle crossing the Red Sea. Moses is gone for longer than they would like. They don't understand it. So, hey, well, I know what we can do. They create an idol. And gave credit to the idol. Incredible. But the Lord said, you know what? My mercy is not going to leave them. If they're going to follow me, I'm going to leave the cloud in place. It's true for your life. Don't think the cloud is gone. It's not. You might have to get right. You might have to come, Lord, I am sorry. I've been following my will, not your will. I've been fighting this. I've been against this, Lord. I am sorry. Lord, please make my life about you. The last one before I get into steps on following God's cloud in your life. The last principle here. Number 7. This cloud was going to lead them all the way to the promised land. In other words, it takes you where you need to be in God's will. Every time. Every time. This direction stayed with the nation during that entire 40 years, actually. The only way to, again, the only way you're really going to know God's will for your life is when you follow the cloud. When you follow His guidance and His direction. And really, if you think about it, I hope you understand how I mean this. We could really say that the will of God is basically simply following the cloud. The activity, the service, the location is secondary. What it's about is our obedience to God of saying, Lord, my life is yours. Direct. Direct. And so the cloud would lead them all the way to the promised land. And that's true in our life. That cloud will lead you right to where God would have you to be. Now, let's get more practical with this. Because none of us are going to have a cloud outside unless somebody's car has a problem right now and in the cold. We're not going to have a cloud leading us. So, steps for following God's cloud in your life. This is the practical side. Look over in Psalm chapter 5. It starts here. This one is in place. Forget the rest. Now, I'm not at the first point yet, but let me give this as a foundational truth for this, okay? So, you have to understand that the sovereign God who is... It is amazing to think of how big the universe is, and yet He knows every single one of us. He knows the hairs on our head. It's mind-boggling to think about. But you have to understand that God does have a will for your life. Not only that, He desires, the Creator Himself desires to guide you on that path. Again, not hide it from you, not make it difficult, but to make it clear. That's what He's trying to accomplish. Okay, so with that in place, Psalm chapter 5, and this isn't the only one of these. We can go to others, but I'm just going to read this one verse. Verse number 8. This is David. He says this. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Now, the principle that I want to draw from this verse is the fact that when it comes to us right now following God's guidance, following our cloud, the others won't matter without this one. You have to actually desire the leadership of the Lord. You have to want it. So that is the willingness to say, not my will, but thy will be done. David is praying and asking for God's guidance because that's what he wants. He's not praying, Lord, this way and that way. Lord, thy will. You direct. You guide in this. You have to desire the leadership of the Lord. You see this in different places in the Psalms. I mean, there's several here I can turn to. There's another one. Many of these with David throughout you can get into. There's one that's... that's the verse. Good. Psalm 143:10, he said this, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. And the Spirit is good and led me into the land of uprightness. It's the desire. It starts there. It starts with... Too often, it's not until... it's circumstantial, whatever. God has to put us in a pig pen somewhere that we actually desire the leading of God. You have to desire the leadership of the Lord. Let's face it, we have so much that pulls for our desire today. And desire is a powerful emotion. One that all of us enjoy. It's motivating. There's so much to that emotion. We need to allow God to be number one in that desire. Lord, you are my desire. It starts there. God should be more than just fire insurance for us. He should be your leader. A willingness to submit to Him. I think what Paul talked about with his desire to follow God's leading, he talked about, but what things I counted gain to me, I count it for loss. Let me go there, Philippians chapter 3. I am butchering that up. But it's a great, great point for this, where you see his heart, his unselfishness, that what he wanted was God in his life. What he wanted was God's leading and nothing else. Yeah, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. His desire was God. He's going to go on to state that later on, that I may know Him. So if you're going to follow the guidance, this cloud that I'm talking about, to have His leading and His guiding, it starts with desiring God. Put aside our selfish desires, to count all those but dung. And you'll find, by the way, when that's in place, just like with David, I'm no doubt with Paul, though he didn't directly state that in that chapter, still true, it'll drive you to prayer. It will drive you to prayer. And isn't it amazing that when we have that, because we're able to pray to the one, it's mind-boggling. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. There's not one thing that's going to take place tomorrow that God doesn't know. Nothing. Or next year, or 10 years, or 15 years. He already knows. And I can talk to Him. Desire the leadership of the Lord. Don't believe the lies in your head that somehow... You know, we have the world's philosophy of follow your own direction, your own heart. Listen, you're believing lies. Or please, as a Christian, don't believe this. That you kind of minimize it. That you'll give God Sundays, but somehow you think, as you've laid out your life before your eyes, and you think, if I follow the Lord, that could all change. It could. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to, because it could. But I know this to be true. You'll never regret it. Never. There might be that action of faith initially. But trust the Lord. You know, I was watching a documentary yesterday. And boy, it just grabbed my attention. That were two men. That I've read some of their letters. I'm going to be reading more after watching that. And I think even going from Matthew 5 and developing a sermon on it. And it was on Ignatius, who was the pastor at Antioch. He became pastor of Antioch when John was still alive, around 95 AD. And then an understudy of his is another man named Polycarp, who also knew the Apostle John. He was the pastor in Smyrna, the same Smyrna you read about in the book of Revelation. As I followed their life of these men, I was just convicting. Afterwards, just praying, man, when both of them were martyred for their faith, the same persecution we're reading about right now in 1 Peter would continue. And because they would not bow down and worship Caesar, both of them, when they died, incredible. Ignatius, the pastor at Antioch, which is the same Antioch that Barnabas and Paul, where it took off on them. Exact same church. It was incredibly important church in history in the first three or four centuries. And so he knew he had to go to Rome. He knew they're going to kill me. And he found out that at the church at Rome, the Christians there knew he was coming, what was going to take place, and why he was coming there with the Roman government wanting him there to put him on trial. They developed a plan to rescue him. He wrote him and said, don't do it. Don't. He says, he went on to say, you know, if they decide to turn to beat the lions, is what he's referring to, the beast on me, so be it. I'm good. Let them. And he went there, and that's exactly what they did. Polycarp wasn't any different, although they had trouble killing him. And they burned him at the stake. Same reason. He was the pastor of the church at Smyrna, very influential, and Rome decided to take him out. Of course, many of the Jews were leading that charge. He too had got summoned to Rome. He went, knowing more than likely he would not return. Head to Rome, and then they began to tie him, and they said they would nail you to the wood, but he said, I'm not going anywhere. You don't need to nail me. I'm going to stay right here. And he did. They put all the wood all around him and the kindling or whatever they called it back then, it was a little bit different name, lit it on fire. And he was having trouble burning. It was almost like he was being protected. So much so that one of the Roman soldiers actually went up and stabbed him over and over to kill him, to get him dead. The whole time, by the way, he was simply praying for him. More than willing to give his life for Christ. But as it went through their life, and I thought, man, would I be willing? I mean, so much, I mean, even prior to that, what was going on in their life, the church at Smyrna, the church at Antioch, what was on their shoulders and the different issues that were pressing. You know what? Something tells me that in heaven right now that Ignatius and Polycarp, they in no way would change anything except to give them more. You have to desire the leadership of the Lord. Not be afraid of where it's going to take you. Make your life about God. Now, next principle. You've got to desire it. Now, this one's important. All right? Psalm 119, 105. I imagine most of us can quote that verse. The word is? That's right. It is guidance. It's guidance. God's word is crucial for our guidance. If you're going to desire it, you have to be in the Bible. You have to know principles from the word of God. The Bible has to be alive to you. It just can't be a history book. It just can't be a book on geography for you. It just can't be a book of duty for you. It is your guidance. It is the principles that guide our life. They're here. Let it direct you. Let it feed you. Get in. Listen to it. Listen to the preaching. God's word is sort of what it illuminates the cloud, if you will. That makes it visible and clear. Where you know a decision you need to make. You see the principle. It's clear. You want God's desire. You have His direction. You see His principle in God's word. Even if you don't understand it at the time, even if it seems difficult at the time, you know, I need to follow the leading of the Lord. The cloud is moving. And I assure you, if we submit as He promises, He will guide. He'll keep you on track. Thirdly, there's four things I'm giving you. Number one, you got to desire it. Number two is God's word. Thirdly, John chapter 16. This is in conjunction with God's word. As we know, the Bible is a spiritual book. That's why when you read it, sometimes, you know, there's how our approach to the word of God is so important, because there are times that you can read it and it just doesn't seem to do anything for you. Again, we dealt with that in a message just a couple of weeks ago as we're going through 1 Peter. There's different things that can hinder it from being the guidance and you seeing the principles that are needed. And of course, we're covering those. If you're listening, it'll help you grow up God's word to be effective in your life. But there's something else that we have with the word of God and why at times it can just be so clear. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So within us, indwelling within us, is God's Holy Spirit. And so as we go to God's Word, God, who is all-knowing, knows everything about you, knows the exact direction you should take, He is the one that's going to help illuminate Scripture to you. To make it clear, to give the direction. So we have God's Holy Spirit helping to guide us, who indwells us. And then lastly here this evening, And this is true, especially when you put all these together. It's true every single time. It takes faith to follow God's word. To follow his guidance, I should say. Because there are times you're going to desire it. You're going to have that desire there. You're going to know from Scripture, I am following God. I'm right where I should be. I'm following. I'm there. I'm following. It's clear. God's Spirit confirming in your heart. You're on target. But then all of a sudden, it comes up and it takes a huge measure of faith. It takes faith to follow the cloud. And I'll finish with this story that I've told. Just like the night before leaving for New Guinea. Scared to death. Didn't really know who to call at the time, to be honest. But I needed to talk to somebody. And I'm looking at my family. All the bags are packed. We're leaving about 5 in the morning. Daniel's, 10, 11, 12 years old at the time. Deputation started was 10. So he's 11, 12 years old. Bethany's about 6 years old. Looking at all my kids, my wife. And I don't know anybody there. There's no other missionary there. Again, if you were to watch me set up a tent in my backyard, you'd spend more time laughing than anything else. And I am getting ready to take off. And the next place I'm going to be laying my head is in an island in New Guinea with no other missionary there. I was a little afraid. And I called my brother up. I have one brother. I called him up. And he said, "How you doing?" And I said, "Am I crazy?" I said, "What am I doing right now?" And I was serious. I'm like, what am I doing? I mean, I got a wife and 4 kids. And a thought kept on hitting. Following the cloud takes faith. I didn't surrender because it was my desire. I knew that. I surrendered because it was the Lord's. I didn't want to leave here. I watched God's provision all along in Deputation done in 18 months. Without any churches, 2 that knew me in the lower 48. Done in 18 months. Seeing God's providing hand all the time. And I knew it's simply going to take faith. There are times as you're following, you know God's in it. You've been following his word. You've been submitted. You desire it. But then there comes a point many times, not just once or twice, where the action takes faith. Let me give you a more simple instead of such a profound or major example from moving out of the country. Tomorrow when you go to work, you're on break and you're sitting down. It's break. One of your coworkers sits down right by you. And that nudge hits. Talk to him. Give him a track. Invite him out. You know, for many of you, that's going to take faith. Lord, he doesn't want to hear this. He doesn't. Oh, no. It's exactly what he needs. It takes faith. Or tomorrow, you're homeschooling your kids back from Thanksgiving Day break, and they forgot everything you've been teaching them for the last 2 months. All of a sudden, they're dumber than a box of rocks right before your eyes. You know the scriptural principle in place. There's several for that one. Patience, grace, there's a lot. Train up a child the way he should go. Don't beat him if he doesn't fall, It takes faith to trust in the Lord. This is guidance that we need every single day as we follow him. With heads bowed and eyes closed.